to, and after he was arrested, they got him. They put him on the ground. There was police standing on his ankles, standing on his back, pulling on his shoulders, torquing his back, and hitting him with nightsticks, hitting him with fists and feet. And I have a witness to this who is also going to be here a little later on, and she's going to talk about what she saw because she witnessed that straight on. They also sprayed him down the throat and in the eyes at very close range with pepper spray. And that was basically the gist of it. What I saw and heard was a lot of police brutality and unnecessary violence. It never had to be handled that way. They didn't need to haul anybody off for no reason. They didn't need to hit people. They didn't need to arrest anybody. It could have been handled in a totally peaceable manner. And it, matter of fact, didn't have to happen at all because it was a nonviolent demonstration. They were the antagonists. In my feeling, I saw the whole thing go down, and they were totally trying to antagonize people. I mean, trying to rip a baby from his mother's arms. Come on. Ridiculous. Okay, she was doing nothing wrong to have that occur, and if they wanted her to step away from the van, they could have warned her, and they could have asked her to put the child down or hand it to her husband. They didn't have to tear the baby from her, and I'm really glad that that family got away from that situation. I'm very glad that Steve and Nassim were there to distract the cops from that situation, because I would hate to see that child separated from its mom and her hauled off to jail for a nonviolent, peaceful demonstration. Pretty ridiculous. So I have the Sentinel article in front of me that came out today in the morning paper, and it was on page 7, of course, no pictures, and a little, you know, basically blip here about what happened. And they say that the Democratic Party fundraising dinner turned rowdy, but they don't mention why it turned rowdy. The police were antagonizing people and, you know, tearing stereo out of the woman's hands, arresting Gowling for no reason. And then it states that demonstrators said police officers unnecessarily used nightsticks to hit some of those arrested, and also used a chemical-like spray, pepper spray. And they say that the police said they used standard crowd control measures. Well, I could say that hardly seems standard to me. To not warn people, to drag them away for no reason, target people. They targeted people. They arrested 3 people who they know and have had, you know, some kind of conflict with in the past, and they definitely targeted people. There was no question about that. Everyone recognized that. Standard crowd control. I don't think so. Spraying somebody down the throat, inches from their face and in their eyes with pepper spray, and beating them while they're subdued on the ground is called police brutality, and it's not standard. It should not be standard behavior for police. Shouldn't happen at all. I was pretty disgusted with this article. And it goes on to say a little bit about Sam Farr, and it says that he signed a letter Friday calling for a ceasefire, but what it fails to mention is that the ceasefire he is calling for is only 72 hours. So we'll give the people of Yugoslavia a 3-day break, and then we'll go back to bombing them. You know, give me a break. So, Gowling, did you have anything else you wanted to say about the situation? You want to give an opinion on the war, or talk about what happened more yesterday, or...
Yeah, I really think all the people who were just showing their anger when I got arrested, and that we have a movement here, and that we have to make it bigger and stronger, because things like this shouldn't be happening here in Santa Cruz, or with Mumia, or in Kosovo, or anywhere else in this world where the U.S. or anyone else is engaging in oppression, and that we can build this movement of nonviolence, of stopping war, and yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you. If you have something more you want to say later, you're more than welcome to grab the mic and, you know, jump in. We're going to have Tracy coming later, who witnessed Steve Argue's beating. She was right there when it happened, and she was in tears after she saw that, just sobbing. And also, we're going to have Nassim, who was one of the men arrested. He was the one who put his hand on the police officer's arm when they were trying to rip the two-year-old child from the mom. And he's going to be here shortly, and we'll talk a little bit more and get some first-hand accounts of what people saw. And if you want to jump back in later, feel free to grab the mic.
Thanks.
Right now, I am going to play another song, so hang on.
You say what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine too. Now you've got more than you can spend. But all of the money in the whole wide world is not gonna help you in the end. Now while there's still time to be saved, don't take that attitude to your grave. Might be too late for you, I'm afraid. So don't take that attitude to your grave. Don't you take it there. Hire a helicopter for my house every day. Shine on the lights and fly. Treat a child like a criminal from the day that he is born. And you're gonna reap just what you sow. Now while there's still time to be saved, don't take that attitude to your grave. Might be too late for you, I'm afraid. Now don't take that attitude. Get there. So you can move your court case way across town. You can move it across the whole wide globe. But it ain't gonna help your court case up in the sky. You go to put on your whole wide globe. Now while there's still time to be saved, take that attitude. Might be too late for you, I'm afraid. Don't you? You don't want it. Don't you take it there. You may write me down in a history with your bitter tongue. twisted lies. You may trod me down in the very dirt, and still like the dust I'll rise. Does my happiness upset you? Why are you with me alone? Cause I laugh like I've got an oil well pumping in my living room. So you may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, and I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise. Out of the shacks of history's shame, up from a past rooted in pain, I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise. Now did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops weakened by my soul cries? Does my confidence upset you? Don't you take it awful hard, cause I walk like I've got a diamond mine breaking up in my front yard. So you may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, and I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise, rise, rise. Out of the shacks of history's shame, up from a past rooted in pain, I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter twisted lies. You may trod me down in the very dirt, and still like the dust I'll rise. Does my happiness upset you? Why are you best with the moon? Cause I laugh like I've got a gold mine digging up in my living room. You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, and I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise, rise, rise. Out of the shacks of history's shame, up from a past rooted in pain, I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise, rise. You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, and I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise. Out of the shacks of history's shame, up from a past rooted in pain, I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise, rise, rise. I'm gonna rise, I'll rise, I'll rise.
Out, I tell you that
love's gonna get you, love's gonna get you.
because a lot of people out here, they say, I love my car, or I love my chain, or I'm just in love with that girl over there. So for all the people out there that fall in love with material items, we're gonna bump the beat a little something like this. I'm in junior high with a B-plus grade. At the end of the day, I don't hit the arcade. I walk from school to my mom's apartment. I gotta tell the suckers every day, don't start it. Cause where I'm at, if you're soft, you're lost. To stay on course means to roll with force. A boy named Rob is chilling in a Benz in front of my building with the rest of his friends. I give him a pound, oh, I mean, I shake his hand. He's the neighborhood drug dealer, my man. I go upstairs and hug my mother, kiss my sister and punch my brother. I sit down on my bed to watch some TV. Do my ears deceive me? Nope, that's the fourth time this week. Another fast brother shot dead in the street. The very next day while I'm off the class, my mom's go to work cold busting her ass. My sister's cute but she got no gear. I got three pairs of pants and with my brother I share. Spare in school, see I made a fool. With one and a half pair of pants you ain't cool. But there's no dollars for nothing else. I got beans, rice and bread on my shelf. Every day I see my mother struggling. Now it's time, I've got to do something. I look for work, I get dissed like a jerk. I do odd jobs and come home like a slob. So here comes Rob, his goal is shimmery. He gives me 200 for a quick delivery. I do it once, I do it twice. Now there's steak with the beans and rice. My mother's nervous but she knows the deal. My sister's gear now has sex appeal. My brother's my partner and we're getting paper. 3 months later we run our own caper. My family's happy, everything is new. Now tell me what the fuck am I supposed to do? That's why you fall in love with your chain, you fall in love with your car. Love is gonna sneak right up and snuff you from behind. So I want you to check the story out as we go down the line. Money's flowing, everything is fine. Got myself a Uzi and my brother a 9. Business is booming, everything is cool. I pull about a G a week, fuck school. A year goes by and I begin to grow. Not in hype, but juice and cash flow. I kick up my feet and begin to watch TV. Cause now I got other people working for me. I got a 55-inch television, you know. And every once in a while I hear Just Say No. Or the other commercial I love is when they say this is your brain on drugs. I pick up my remote control and just turn. Cause with that bullshit I'm not concerned. See me and my brother jump in the BM. Driving around our territory again. I stop at the light like a superstar. And automatic weapons go spray my car. I hit the accelerator scared as shit. And drove one block to find my brother was hit. He wasn't dead, but the blood was pouring. And all I could think about was Warren. Later I found that it was Rob and his crew. Now tell me what the fuck am I supposed to do? You know, that's why. That word love is very, very serious. Very addictive.
Let us move on.
My brother's out of it, but I'm still in it. On top of that, I'm in it to win it. I can't believe that Rob would diss me. That faggot, that punk, he's sore for sissy. I'm driving around now with three of my guys. The war is on and I'm on the rise. We roll right up to his favorite hangout. Said hello and then the bullets rang out. Some fired back, so we took cover. And all I could think about was my brother. Rob jumped up and began to run, busting shots, hoping to hit someone. So I just stopped and let off three shots. Two hit him and one hit a cop. I threw the gun down and began to shout, come on, I got him, it's time to break out. But as we ran, there were the boys in blue pointing their guns at my four-man crew. They shot down one, they shot down two. Now tell me what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Love's gonna get you.
sore. But when you use it in your vocabulary like you're addicted to it, it sneaks right up and takes you right out, out, out. So, for future reference, remember, it's all right to like or want a material item, but when you fall in love with it and you start scheming and carrying on for it, just remember, it's gonna get you.
And this is 96.3 Freak Radio, and this is George, and you better be at the Free Radio Benefit tonight. You better be there. It's at the Vets Hall, 7 p.m., $5 to $10 donation, or, you know, $1,000, $500, whatever. Whatever you can spare for this wonderful public service we have here. And there's four bands playing, and Vets Hall, 7 p.m., so you better be there. I have Tracy in the studio now, who is going to talk about what she saw yesterday at the protest at the black tie dinner that Sam Farr was having. And so, Tracy, want to say hi?
Hello.
So, what did you see, Tracy? When did you get there?
I think I got there a little bit before 7 o'clock, and when I first got there, people were drawing, peacefully drawing with chalk and handing out flyers and body parts, papers of body parts to people to basically remind people that people were being torn apart by the cluster bombs. It then pretty much everybody moved up to right in front of the windows where the people were having their dinner, and we were loud, we were chanting, but we were very peaceful, nonviolent, and then at one point the radio came with the sounds of the bombs. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I see Kualing just being swept away. And as everybody, I followed people down to the van, and we were chanting, and we surrounded the van, chanting, "Let her go, let her go." And then the next thing I knew, Jim and Vinny were being handcuffed. And what I saw of Vinny's handcuffing was he was not resisting at all. I didn't really understand. I asked for his last name, and that's basically the only conversation I had with him. And then they took Jim, and then out of the corner of my eye, I see Steve argue just flying by, and I see that he drops his backpack, and then there's Officer Lefebvre chasing him. So mm-hmm. I immediately just took off after them. And it's funny because earlier that evening, Jim Cosner had pointed Lefebvre out to me specifically as being a pig in Santa Cruz that's brutal and that is notorious for picking fights.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I saw that it was Lefebvre chasing Steve, I knew something bad was going to happen.
Right.
Unfortunately, there was no camera that came to watch what was going to happen. And what I saw was that Officer Lefebvre snatched Steve from behind, and whether or not Steve tripped or whether or not he was pushed, I don't know. But the next thing I saw when I got close enough was that Steve was on the ground, basically in a fetal, semi-fetal position, not fighting, but screaming, and Officer Lefebvre beating him with a nightstick.
And was he? Was there other officers restraining
Steve? Not right away, because, of course, me, and it was Steve, then Officer Lefebvre, and then me, and then obviously some other pigs came from somewhere. I don't know where they came from.
There was a lot of them there, huh? How many
there
would you
were,
say was there?
Well, I think there were at least three.
Oh, I'm talking total here.
Oh, total?
About 30 at least.
Oh, at least 30, yeah. And one or two paddy wagons. They had some sitting behind longs waiting for more shit to go down.
Well prepared.
Tax dollars at work. And
ready to arrest nonviolent protesters.
And I was being basically blocked from seeing what was happening by Officer Connor Carey, the pig who murdered John Dine.
Right.
As I was trying to write down the names and badge numbers and witness what happened, some other officers came, a woman and a third officer, and they were standing on Steve. They were kicking him. They were punching him, beating the shit out of him. And I talked to Steve this morning, and what he told me is that he was pepper sprayed immediately. That's why I didn't see that, because that happened. It was like LaFever had the pepper spray out as he was chasing Steve. As soon as he tackled Steve, he shoved the shit in his mouth and sprayed him in his mouth and then in his face.
Yeah.
And that's why he was screaming in such pain when I got there. Obviously, at that point, I wasn't understanding why he was screaming and writhing. But and then they picked him up, just picked him up and took him off. And
so were they hitting him with nightsticks? I heard they were hitting him.
LaFever was.
Yeah, where was he hitting him?
Across the back. And
he was restrained at this point when he was beating him with the nightsticks.
Yes, yes. And when Officer LaFever got up, I asked him why was he beating Steve, and his comment to me was, I was the one who got beat.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, Connor Carey was...
And how many cops were on top of Steve?
You know, I want to say three or four. I was thinking about this today and realizing that it's easier for me to understand now when things like this happen how the details can get so confusing because your emotions are so high, and it's just a weird, surreal kind of thing that happens when you witness something like this that you can't take it all in.
Yeah.
You just can't take it all in. And I was, of course, today all morning thinking about what happened, and I'm still pretty upset about it, but it really helps me understand why there can be so much confusion when something like this happens because it's very surreal.
So Steve is in jail right now.
Steve is in jail with a felony battery on a peace officer. It was assault on a peace officer with $20,000 bail. And I asked Steve specifically if he wanted us to bail him out, and he said right now he did not want us to because he's not sure what's going to happen Tuesday. If they keep him Tuesday, then we definitely need to work towards getting him out of there.
Yeah, definitely.
He also asked, his biggest wish was just for us to get the word out about what happened last
night.
So that's directly from Steve. He wants us all to be talking to people, to be educating each other, and to just get the word out that police brutality is alive here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. That was a pretty violent afternoon yesterday.
Awful.
So we also have Nassim here, who was one of those arrested, and I'm going to ask him a couple questions. Nassim, what happened? What you could tell us from the beginning when you got there, or just talk about
when
the arrest, or yeah.
When I got there, I saw that the sidewalk was beautifully decorated with all the things people had written, and I was happy that we had come up with that idea a few nights before and people had acted on that. And I got there, and it was like Tracy was saying, it's extraordinarily surreal that there was all these people protesting a war which Sam Farr was actively supporting, and these people were having their dinner, very rich, you know, people looking people having their black tie dinner, pretending like we weren't there.
Yeah.
And they were just going about their business as if like we were not, there was not sounds of war happening. And this, the irony just really strikes me, you know, of that. And so we're standing out there and we were chanting, and I was playing my cowbell, and yeah, we want them, you know, to come and acknowledge what's going on. And all of a sudden, I don't know where, these three cops show up and grab the stereo, steal the stereo, steal counting, and we're just like, what? No warning, no, excuse me, will you move or you're under arrest? No, you are under arrest, just grab them. And went, and people got really upset about that, like anybody would if someone came and grabbed their friend and someone's property and walked off with it, whether they're in a uniform or not. But especially even more so to knowing their political purpose as police officers. So we blocked the van so that it couldn't leave because we were not okay with them taking away Kaling, and we were yelling at them not to. People were getting really upset.
Yeah.
Then I saw officer, I had a few interactions with the officers, like just getting in front of them, and them telling me to get off the street onto the sidewalk, as if I'm just going to jump on the sidewalk at, you know, their beck and call. And, then I saw Officer LaFever go up to a man to my left and say, and ask, you know, say something to the person, which I'm assuming was, you know, either move or get arrested, and the person backed off. Then he went to my friend, Julianne, who had her child with her, 5-year-old child, daughter in her arms and asked her, and she was really strong. She said, "I don't want to get arrested." She put her arm behind her back so he couldn't grab me. She said, "I don't want to get arrested, but I'm not going to move. It's my right to be here. You should be, you know, things like, you should be ashamed of yourself for what you're doing."
Mm-hmm.
And he said something back, and then he grabbed her wrist and was really, really hurting her wrist. I could see the look in her face. Like, I was right there. You could see the look in her face that it hurt, and she started screaming, "Ow, you're hurting me," and her child started yelling. And I went to move closer, and a cop pushed me back with his billy club, you know, at which point I told him not to touch me, and I pointed, like, I had my stick that I was playing my cowbell with, and one of them made a comment that I had a weapon in my hand.
Yeah.
Which I informed them that they're stupider than I thought. And then the person who was with Julianne, who had the other child in his arms, came in and stepped in to try and get the cops off them, and a bunch of cops swarmed on her, and she was extraordinarily strong. She had about four cops pushing on her, trying to take her child away, using pain compliance, trying to twist her wrist up, really hurting her wrist, the favor was. And then I saw another cop grab my other friend's arm as he was trying to get away, and he had the girl almost sort of on his back, and it was precarious, he was holding her. And I was afraid that, you know, he might drop this two-year-old
girl.
He had the girl in his arm, and the cop was grabbing his other arm, you know, trying to hurt him and stop him from going anywhere. And I'm afraid he's going to drop this two-year-old girl on the concrete. You know, I didn't know what the cop was going to do next, if he was going to use pepper spray or what.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see him grabbing my friend. So I proceeded to, I was very aware of the situation. I wasn't, like, overcome and maddened or anything. I mean, I was angry. And I was definitely feeling things, but I was very conscious and clear about what I was doing, that I had no intent to go in and hit this officer. I mean, had a cowbell in my hand, I could have clocked him in the face with that, and I didn't. I just grabbed his arm and tried to take it off of my friend, which then he turned his attention to me and said, "Okay, you're next, you're under arrest," and put me under arrest, put me in the car, and after that,
they arrested you in the middle of the street, or?
Yeah, I was pretty much on the, closer to the other side of the street from the McPherson Center, and they arrested me there, and
so they chased your friends with the children across the street.
Across the street,
they chased them across the street and continued to attempt to tear the child from your friend.
That's right. And he had the child in his one arm, and the cop was on his other arm. And mm-hmm. I was trying to just take the cop off my friend.
They're
you
just
know.
Terrorizing people straight
yeah.
out.
Yeah, and I think someone mentioned this, and I think that it's really true that at least a really good thing that we should think about, the possibility that it was an intentional provocation to violence. By going after a mother with a five-year-old daughter in her arms and putting immediately, first thing is a pain compliance move to hurt her wrist, and I saw the look in her eyes that it really did hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And she was screaming. I mean, you can't expect people to take that. I don't know who thinks rationally the police have the right to use force on us, and we have no right to use any force back, and then we become the criminals by resisting and responding, you know, like any human being would, trying to protect never mind their friend or their child or mm-hmm. any other human being from being attacked. And
they definitely were the provokers in the situation right
yeah.
from the beginning. It was quite clear. They were totally antagonizing people. They knew that if they knew that what they were doing was escalating the situation, trying to tear the child from the mother and all of that, and chasing her across the street. And the arrest never had to happen. They never had to happen. The police
That's right.
escalated the situation. They antagonized people. You know, the initial arrest of Galing and tearing the stereo from the other woman's hand without warning. This was all of their behavior was totally antagonistic.
For the hypocritical charge of disturbing the peace, while you're protesting peacefully for peace, you get charged with disturbing the
right.
peace. While they come and take you away to throw you in a jail. What I don't know what's peaceful about that. So the irony is sharp. Especially I heard later on after I left that Sam Farr came out and said, "Can you guys? I'm not here to discuss things. Can you guys?" Quiet down so
uh-huh.
we can eat in peace.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's actively supporting a war that's, you know, blowing people up, and we're trying to raise awareness about that. I mean, the irony, I'm almost, you know, thankful for the degree of hypocrisy and injustice that they display so openly,
mm-hmm.
so openly, so that people who were maybe slightly unsure before can see clear, you know, clear as still water exactly what their role is and what they're doing and where their interests are.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously these people have no interest in human rights whatsoever. No compassion about other people whatsoever.
Yeah, when he came out to speak to people, he spoke for, I think, about 30 seconds. And before he came out, someone had come out to tell us he was coming and that it was not going to be a dialogue. He was just going to say his piece and then go back. And this was right after the brutal arrests had been made and the brutality against Steve Argue and the children and everything. He comes out and says some spiel about how he had kind of reconsidered and wants to the 72-hour ceasefire deal, which, please, 3 days, stop the bombing, it's not going nearly far enough. But anyway, he came out to make that statement, and then there was a person who tried to speak to him about what had just happened with the police and the arrests and the violence that had just happened right outside this nice little dinner they're having, and he said, I'm not going to have a dialogue, and walked away. So, not interested in the human rights going on in Kosovo, not interested in human rights issues right here in Santa Cruz. And my sister Jim wants to say something.
I just wanted to point out, I thought it was pretty funny that the whole thing started because somebody in the dinner apparently wanted to make a citizen's arrest. And what was going on was that a woman who is from Yugoslavia, who's now living in the United States, a friend of hers in Yugoslavia had sent her this tape of the sounds of bombs falling there. And I think there's some sounds of people screaming on the tape as well. And she had brought her stereo to play this tape. And it wasn't so loud that it was breaking people's eardrums or anything. It was, I think what was so disturbing about it was that it was too real. You know, it was too disturbing. It struck too close to home for these people. And so somebody inside the dinner apparently requested that this person, they made a citizen's arrest, which the cop then carried out. And so that was why the three, I guess it was several police officers, rushed out of the building and just came down on these people and did not ask her to turn the stereo down, didn't say, you know, you're disturbing the peace, or there was no preliminary action to them just snatching the stereo away from her and confiscating it and then arresting Gao Ling. So I guess what I'm saying is that I'm agreeing with you, Nassim, that there was a lot of irony here and that it was really disgusting to me as well that these people were trying to enjoy this fancy dinner in peace and were offended by the sounds of bombs falling. I mean, that's just too, it's just too bad. If that offends them, that's too bad, you know. And that was kind of pretty much all I wanted to say, except that I wanted to add that I also saw the officers trying to tear the children from the woman in the man's arms, and at that point I just ran across the street because they had followed these two people across the street, and I just, my instinctual reaction was to try to protect those people. That was how offensive it was. That was how violent they were being in trying to take these babies away from the parents, that I just didn't even think. I just rushed over there and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't feel violent at that point. I just wanted to somehow defend these people. And so I guess I just wanted to say that it was a very escalated situation, and it was antagonism by the police that brought this whole thing about and that brought it on. And it's interesting that on the, I guess Channel 46 News was there and they filmed a lot of what happened, and apparently all they showed was a cop with blood on his face or something. So, okay.
You want to add to that? Tracy's going to add to that.
I spoke with KON this morning, asking them why they only chose to show bits and pieces of what they filmed, because they were actually right there filming Steve Argue being beaten, but they didn't show any of that on the news. And they said that the incident, the way they're reporting it, is what they saw, and that it was the police that were being attacked.
Oh my!
That's what Gina from KION said to me this morning on the phone.
Well, what can you expect from mass media.
That's right. Another thing that I was the only person who, besides Steve, who got to witness was when we were in the back of the cop car, they took us to the parking lot by where Mobile Sushi is, and Steve was having a hard time breathing. His breathing was really fast and shallow, and he was obviously hurt, and I was feeling the pepper spray coming into my lungs just from what he was breathing out, which didn't feel good to me, and I don't know what that felt like to him, because it must have been terrible. And I told to the cop, Lefevre, how do you pronounce it? Lefevre, I'm almost, you know, ashamed to be French with that guy, with his name. And I told him, my friend needs medical assistance. I've known people to die from being pepper sprayed. You have to get him some medical assistance now. And he looked at me and he says, wah, wah, wah. He'll be fine.
I wonder how he'd feel with pepper spray down his throat.
Yeah, and before that, he was getting his lip, he had a little bloody lip. And he's getting his lip mopped up. And I told one of the cops who was in the car, he was outside getting his lip mopped up, I said, my friend needs some medical assistance. He's been pepper sprayed twice. He's having a hard time breathing. She's like, well, we'll get to that as soon as we can. We have an emergency over here. And I said, are you talking about him getting his lip, you know, mopped up? And just had a little bit of blood on his lip. And she said, oh, not just him. There's just all sorts of people. And I just, there's emergency. And she just didn't know what she was talking about, and I thought it was absolutely disgusting that my friend having a hard time breathing, and people have died from this regularly in this country. I don't know how many people. I know the police are responsible for over 20,000 deaths in the past 8 years. I don't know how many from pepper spray. And she was the more concerned about this cop, you know, getting his lip mopped up for the picture that they're going to take of him.
Okay. Yeah, and I was wondering about while we were peacefully protesting before the police came and arrested me and other people, they were videotaping across the street what was happening, and I wondered if the police that was videotaping got footage of the police beating Steve, or if they didn't get footage and he didn't decide to videotape that, and I just like. Shout out to the police about that, and yeah, so, like, I don't know what they're doing out there. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
They videotaped for quite some time. They videotaped until after dark. They were lurking in the bushes across the street filming. Why? There was, like, a handful of people still there, and they're still filming, you know?
Every action I've been to recently, there's been a... Well, the action in Monterey, it was military intelligence that was filming us, and every other protest or action I've been to, there's been police people there filming us with video cameras, and I just feel like that's a clear form of intimidation, and it's something that's not only practiced here in this country, and I don't know if this is something that's just they just started doing recently, like picking up more doing this stuff or what, because I didn't notice it before in anything I've done before. I mean, prior to this last year or whatever, but it's also something that I write letters for Amnesty International, and one of the letters I wrote recently was for a group of people in Central America who are digging up mass graves, and they're looking for their loved ones who were, you know, disappeared. And it's just a common form of intimidation for the paramilitary or the military people to come out and film them, and it's to show them that they know who they are, and they're not going to, you know, let them get away with these peaceful actions of just trying to find their disappeared relatives. And that's what it reminded me of, you know, seeing these cops and military people out there filming us. It reminded me of that.
V-Man has now joined us. He was one of the people arrested yesterday, one of the five protesters arrested.
Hi.
Hello.
First of all, I'd like to thank you both for taking over my time slot, and I'm enjoying the program. Been listening pretty much most of the hour or so that you've been on. So anyway, yeah, I was arrested for simply being myself, apparently. I feel it was an obvious case of selective enforcement, at least as far as my arrest is concerned. I really wasn't doing anything at the time. You had already been taken into the van, and some people had started to blockade the front of the van. So I decided to stand behind the van because I figured, well, if all these people are in front, they're going to back up. So I stood to the left rear of the van, and a few people joined me. I believe Jim Cosner had joined me at that point, and a few others. And an officer, I believe it was Officer Tripp, originally contacted me and pushed me, told me to back off. And I tried to hold my ground, but they eventually, pushed me a few feet back. And more people filled in, and they told me to back away from the van. And at this point, I was already at least a clear 5 or 6 feet away from the van, and there were other people closer to the van. And I just refused to back off, basically. And I was there as a journalist, as a protester as well. I mean, like, I'm totally opposed to this bombing. But my main reason for being there yesterday was to, as a journalist, to cover it. And so that's all I was doing. And unfortunately, that seems to be enough these days to get arrested. And given some of the history that I've had with some of these officers, then it's not surprising to me at all that I was singled out for arrest. But I believe it was Sergeant McMahon who eventually cuffed me and threw me in the wagon. Did you have a question?
I just wanted to say, when you say that they know you later on in the evening, when George was interviewing Chris Krohn, she just said your first name, and Chris Krohn's reaction was, "Oh, Lombardi? Vincent Lombardi, mm-hmm. so they definitely know you and they definitely singled you out.
Not surprised. Not surprised at all. So, I kind of do.
Such a rebel.
I kind of do. And you know what? I at this point, I want to state that I am going to refuse, if I'm found guilty in this case, I'm going to refuse to pay all fines. I will probably end up doing some time in jail for that, but I, you know, if I'm found guilty after the trial, which probably will be, that's what I'm stating right now. And I do believe Steve Argue is on hunger strike. I'm not sure if that is official, but he mentioned something to me last night in the jail cell before I was leaving. And yeah, you heard that too, huh? And so I think Steve's on a hunger strike, and if he is, I would encourage some solidarity hunger strikes to take place outside of the jail. And I myself might go on a hunger strike to basically to protest, you know, in favor of Steve's release. And if anybody would like to join me on that endeavor, please, you know, contact 427-4523, leave a message on our voicemail. You can call us right now in studio. I don't know if you guys are taking calls, but
I'll tell you right now, I'll join you in that. Tracy just said she would join you too.
Good.
And maybe that's something we can talk about tonight at 5:30 when we meet. Where are we meeting, Tracy?
Clock Tower.